Hi, I'm Donna D'Errico, and I'm on the School of Hollywood.
Welcome to the School of Hollywood. Time to ring the bell. Donna is going to tell us about her audition experience on Baywatch, what is important on the red carpet to do, her personal search for Noah's Ark, and more. I'm Steve Owens, a 30-year veteran of entertainment, having worked in TV, film, movies, music, earned 43 Golden Platinum records in the music business. But before we get started, could you please tell two friends about the show, like it on the podcast, or subscribe? Thanks. All right, now let's get into Donna's journey into Hollywood, because it's amazing. Hey, Donna, the last time that you and I chatted, it was on Good Morning La La Land. How have you been since then?
I have been very good, actually.
And then we actually go back a little further, all the way back to the Baywatch days with casting director Fern Ornstein and Greg Bonham and Doug Swartz. What great guys and casting. It was a fun show. I had about 20 people that were on it. Do you remember having to audition for that show?
I do. I remember having to audition for Baywatch Nights and Baywatch. And I really prepared those. And I was nervous, but I was so well prepared that I just blew them away. And I did really well in my audition. So I don't know. I guess I aced it because they hired me.
Did you have to do like a swimming test and get certified?
I aced the Baywatch Nights audition. And then for them to roll me over onto the Baywatch show, all I had to do was pass the swim test. And they asked me, they said, "You can swim, right?" And I said, "Yeah," which was a lie because I couldn't swim. They put me in the water with their swim guy. And he said, "Okay, all you have to do is do this, do that, do a surface dive, do a, you know, this kind of dive, do this type of swim stroke, you know, do," and it was little basic stuff. I can't do any of that stuff because I couldn't swim. I couldn't even tread water. So I got in the water and he's like, "Okay, well, go ahead and do that." I'm hanging on to the edge. And I'm like, I kind of tried to do something and I'm like, I'm flailing. And I go back and I hang on to the edge again. Clearly, I can't swim. So he's like, "Get out of the water. You can't swim." So he had to tell them. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm not going to get on the show." I said, "Am I just off the show now?" And they say, "Well, no, what we're going to do is we're going to put you in swim lessons. 5 mornings a week at 5 a.m. with our professional swim instructor guy for like 3 months. 5 mornings a week out in the Palisades in the outdoor pool at the YMCA. So I did that. And at the end of the 3 months, 5 mornings a week, they had me take the swim test again. I failed again. So they had me take more swim lessons for weeks and weeks more. Then I took the test again. I barely passed, like squeaked by, but I passed enough to get on the show and they hired me. So to this day, Steve, I still can't swim. I'm terrified of the water. I have like a serious, massive water phobia. I can't go near the water. I'm terrified.
Well, I think a lot of actors now, they don't really have the opportunity, the swimming shows, but they have it with the horses. And a lot of actors like to say, "I'm an expert."
Oh, really? No, I definitely, yeah, I had to lie on that one. And then the first time, and I think the only time they ever put me in the water to do a rescue, I was supposed to rescue a young boy. He ended up pretty much having to rescue me because I almost drowned in the waves. Because as you know, swimming in a pool is a lot different than swimming in the ocean, in the surf. And I couldn't handle it. And you can see in that scene, they never put me in the water again. You can see me in the scene saying, mouthing a swear word.
Oh, wow.
And the boy that I was supposed to rescue actually kind of had to save. So, yeah, they never did that again.
Well, you have tons and tons of photos all over the internet, and you look absolutely incredible.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What is your secret to your health? And, you know, you're not 21 years of age anymore.
No, I'm not.
But you look like you're 21 years of age.
Thank you so much. You know, I appreciate that. That's so sweet. I don't know. I just, I'm vegan now. You know, I wasn't then, but I maintain a vegan diet now, you know, and I work out, or well, I was before quarantine hit. I was working out in the gym like 3 days a week, really hard. And now I've kind of, I've had to slack that off because I can't go to the gym. But I'll tell you, I think one of the main things for me that, in my opinion, has really helped keep me youthful is I cut out toxic people out of my life quickly and permanently. And they stay out. So, in my opinion, having toxic people in your life really ages you quickly. Any kind of toxicity in your life is, it just ages you fast because it's so negative. It stresses you out. Any kind of stress is just, it wears on you physically. And I cut it out. As soon as I find out that somebody's toxic, I cut them out, and I don't feel bad about it because my health is too important to me.
I think a lot of people have gotten a little bit of toxicity in their systems now because of the COVID.
Well, I agree.
So it's, and that's part of the reason that I actually wanted to create this podcast was to help give an inspiration to people, get them back into, yes, 2021 is coming, let's go to work kind of a deal and be a positive role model for the younger kids and to help them guide in the right kind of way. Yeah. I love watching your interviews. Every single one of them, they ask you, Donna, are you single?
I know people are kind of stunned when I say that I'm single. But yeah, I am. I'm single. And honestly, it's a choice at this point because I don't want to be in a relationship. If I wanted to have a boyfriend, I could have one today if I wanted to. I'm never hurting for a date. Whenever I want a date, I can have one. But I just don't, I choose to be single right now because I enjoy my freedom, number one. I don't like drama, number two. And in LA, it's, I don't know if it's this town or it's just the people that I meet, but I'm really, I'm kind of a homebody. I'm a little bit shy. I'm a little bit self-conscious. So I don't go out. I don't really like to go to big crowded party type situations. So it's really hard for me to be in an environment where I'm going to meet a lot of people. You know, I am on Raya, which is kind of the industry dating app. I don't know. There's a lot of non-industry people on there too now, but I go on there occasionally. But I don't know, it's hit or miss on there. I'm not looking for a relationship. I'm focused on my career and me and my health and happiness right now, and not on finding a relationship. I like to go out and I like to have fun and I like to hang out with people, and I don't want to have to report to somebody.
Totally understandable. With the paparazzi, has that led to any acting jobs for you?
I wouldn't think so. Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't think so. Not to my knowledge. I mean, I think that just in general, sort of being out there and being seen and sort of being current as far as continuing to be seen in the public eye, sure, that helps because people see you and they're reminded of your existence and that you still look good. That helps. I don't know that of any one particular job that somebody's looked at me and said, I need to hire her in that way. No, but I think that just in general terms, being seen on red carpets repeatedly, that, of course, that's going to help because it shows, casting directors and producers that you're still out there and you're going to events and that you still look good and that you're, you know, you're still, you know, just actively just, you know, that you're somebody that would go out there and, you know, promote things if you were in it, that you would go to those type of things. I think that's
it's interesting that you say that because many years ago I was at NBC working inside the one that was on Olive Boulevard, and the PR department was actually next door to the office of mine with a big glass window, and literally every morning they would be printing out things of who was in the press, and then they would start circling the names. And I asked them one day that, you know, what's the purpose of this? And they said, we pass it on to casting to find out who's in the buzz.
Wow. Interesting.
You know, with what do you think is the toughest part in Hollywood with red carpets and paparazzis? The questions that they ask, or the right angles on the red carpet? You being coming from, obviously, the Playboy, knowing the glamorous kind of a look?
I don't think the questions really... you know, because you can, it's all in the way you answer them, and it's, you can choose not to answer them, and there's, that's, you know, you learn how to answer things correctly. I don't think that that's, I think that it's probably wearing the right stuff and having your hair and makeup done in such a way that, you know, it shows you off right. And lighting is just everything, because you could have the right clothes and your makeup could look great and your hair could look great. But if the lighting is horrible, you're going to look old and you're going to look bad. Even if you have the best makeup, you're not going to look good. And that photo of you is going to look like crap and it's not going to show you off well. So I think that making sure that you're standing in the best lighting possible is number one. And if I get to an event and I look at that lighting, the first thing I do is I look at the people that are standing on that carpet. And if they're standing in the best lighting and that, then their face looks really horrible, I might not get on the carpet. Because if I can't show my best face on the camera and those pictures are going to go online, I'm not going to get out there, because I know how important it is.
That's called marketing yourself extremely well. Self-marketing comes first.
Right.
When did you know that you needed a PR person?
When did I know? When I was on Baywatch. Yeah. Because, you know, I learned that from the people that had already been on the show. I joined it after it was already on the air and a hit. And when I got on the show, there was already kind of an in-house PR person, Alicia Smith, Alicia White, actually. I don't know if you knew her, but she was sort of the Baywatch PR person, and she repped a lot of the actors on the show. And so when I got on there, she offered to, you know, take me on as a client also. And she became a friend too. We're still friends to this day. And I was like, oh, what's a PR person? I didn't know. And she explained it to me, and all the other actors were like, yeah, she's the best, and she does this, and she does that, and she gets you these things and that, those things, and she'll set this up for you, and she'll accompany you and make sure everything goes well. And I was like, oh, okay. So I hired her, and I started understanding what they did, and I watched her in action, and she set everything up for me, and she, you know, got... you know, the deals and negotiated stuff. And it was amazing. That's when I started learning the whole process. So
did the PR help you in any way to start to get some of the autograph conventions to go out to that?
I never really did those. I don't think I did those when I was on Baywatch. I don't think I did those autograph conventions when I was on the show that I remember. I think I've only done, I take that back. I think I did do a couple of them when I was on the show, and she may have set those up. I think I did. I think I did a couple of those when I was on the show, and yeah, she did set those up. I guess I did. It's been a long time ago now. You're talking about like over 20 years, like 25 years ago now. But I remember doing a couple of those, I guess. And I think it was cool. I just sat there and signed stuff. And then I think I've done a couple of them since. I haven't really done that many. I didn't really love it. Mm-hmm. Because I have a very real, I have a really bad fear of public speaking, and it comes into play when there's large crowds of people that are staring at me. And I'm great on set, I'm great acting, I'm great in front of a camera crew, but as soon as there's a large crowd of people that are staring at me, it kicks in and it's really terrible, and I'll vomit or I'll pass out, and it's terrifying. So those type of situations are really hard for me.
Do you remember what your first break here was into Hollywood?
Yes, it was. I think my very first thing was Married with Children.
So did you feel that you learned about sitcoms from them, or was it when you went on to Unhappily Ever that you learned the beats on that?
I don't think it was Unhappily Ever After. I think it was Married with Children, because they had it so down to a science, and I watched the way that they all worked. They worked so, it was just so fluidly together, all of them. It was amazing to watch. And I was such a novice, and I was so nervous, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I watched them, and they worked so well together. It was, I don't know. I loved watching all of the actors work together.
Well, one of the programs, the films actually you did, I can't believe you did it, was Candyman. That has got to be one of the scariest movies.
Oh my gosh. Candyman 3, Day of the Dead, or something like that. Yeah. That was interesting. That was the one and only horror movie I ever did. That was interesting. The blood was pancake syrup with red food coloring. So I was covered in this pancake syrup with red food coloring, and they had bee wranglers with bees, and I'm covered in pancake syrup. So think about that, with live bees all over the set, and I'm covered in pancake syrup. So I smelled like Waffle House, and it's really sticky. And then they've got to put these bees on me, and they had the bee wranglers were for the one scene where I had to like climb through these live flying clouds of bees. They were on either side of the camera with these shovels, these little scoopers. And they were scooping the live bees and throwing them in front of me as I climbed through them. So that was, but I only, throughout the entire movie, I got stung one time. And that was only because as I was crawling, one unfortunate bee, and I felt really bad because I love all animals, including insects. When I was crawling, it got trapped underneath my knee as I was crawling in it. And, you know, when that happens, they sting you. But they had, like, gotten in my hair. And when they get trapped in your hair, they'll usually sort of find their way down to your scalp and sting you because they're trapped and they get scared and they sting you. But that never happened. I got stung one time. Hmm. It was on my knee, and it wasn't that big a deal. So,
yeah, I think that would kind of make me go, I've had enough of the creep movies. Let's go back to Baywatch.
It was a cool movie.
It gave really me cool the creeps. Shoot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I'll never do another horror movie, but yeah, it was fun. It was cool.
Tell me about this whole thing with the Noah Ark that you did. You did a search for that in Turkey.
Okay, so it's actually four times I went. It was, you know, we're searching for biblical relics on Mount Ararat in eastern Turkey. My first climb was in 2012. And the thing that kind of instigated that was when I was in third grade. I went to a private Catholic school in Georgia, in southern Georgia. And my class went on a field trip to watch this movie. It was a documentary in theaters called In Search of Noah's Ark. And I was just captivated when I watched it because it showed these people climbing Mount Ararat, searching for, you know, the lost ark. And there were people in the United States military, you know, big military officials, high-ranking officers who claimed to have seen something, some kind of man-made structure at an impossible location on Mount Ararat. And they were describing it. They had drawings, and they said that it was the ark. it from the Bible. And so, you know, in third grade, I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know, I want, before I die, I want to climb Mount Ararat and I want to search for it like these people did. So I maintained that dream throughout my whole life. I talked about it in the interviews when I was on Baywatch. I talked about this dream I had. And, you know, they kind of laughed about it. And they're like, you know, Noah's Ark is a fairy tale. And that's just something that's for children to believe in. And it's not real. And I'm like, well, I think it's real. I believe the Bible. And, you know, you might not, but I don't think it's a fairy tale. So then in 2010, I was infected with MRSA. And it went septic, MRSA. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a very dangerous form of staph infection that it's one of the super bugs that is only, it only responds to, I think there's only two antibiotics in the world that are, you can only get by IV drip that it's still responding to. And once it goes septic, I think you have something like 72 hours to live before all your internal organs start to shut down and you die. So it's really serious. It's extremely contagious. So once I got that and it went septic, they quarantined me at Cedar Sinai, and everybody was coming in with like Ebola looking suits and I couldn't have visitors. It was really terrifying and I almost died. So I'm laying there in quarantine and there's like doctors coming in full garb and testing me constantly. And I laid there and I'm like, you know, I'm almost dying here. And I never fulfilled my childhood dream that I said I would do when I was in third grade of climbing Mount Ararat and searching for Noah's Ark. So I made a promise to myself that if I lived and got out of Cedar Sinai, that I would climb Mount Ararat and finally search for the Ark. So obviously I lived. And then I started training and I said, I'm just going to do it because I did live. I'm going to climb, I'm going to look. So in 2012, I was ready and I went ahead and climbed and I searched for it. And, you know, the press found out about it and they thought it was pretty funny. And I'm like, you know what? I would think it's kind of funny too. If I didn't know me, this Baywatch blonde Baywatch bimbo looking girl climbing Mount Ararat in Eastern Turkey, searching for some mythological fairy tale boat. And, you know, I would kind of laugh too, but I don't think it's funny because I believe it in it, and it's something that I wanted to do my whole life, so I'm doing it. So, you know, F you and do what you want. I'm doing what I want. So
actually, I think that's you know, you're following your dreams, and some people don't take that opportunity to follow their dreams. It's like Hollywood. People go, well, what if, you know, they look back in life and what if I did that? What I did this?
Right.
You know, and I think that's amazing that you did it. You're female Indiana Jones.
Right. And, you know, I feel like it was, you know, just, I went back three more times. I've been four times I've climbed up there and we search and then I want to go back this coming, in 2021, I'd like to go back in the summer because it's only climbable about, like 2 months out of the year. The rest of the year, it's completely encased in ice. The mountain.
I think it's great. You know, you've got a challenge. You put a challenge out there in your life, and it's, you know, you've got the target. And now let's have you find the Ark, and then you make tons of money. And plus also such a religious relic as well, too.
So there you go. So that's it. And so that's that. That was that story. And that's why I wanted to do it. That's why I did it.
As we're moving into 2021, do you sit down and write out what your goals are going to be for the next year? I want to do 10 movies. I want to be in a TV series. Or you just wing it and say, you know, what happens is what happens.
I don't really do it like that as far as like the year. I do write down what I want to happen, and I keep it by my bed. I meditate every morning and every night, and I visualize those things being a reality every morning and every night. So I do that all the time, not just for like the new year, but I do something similar every night.
I know that you've been visualizing making a transition from being just the actor into the creative producer, the writer, and the director. You've got a couple projects that are on your table. Can you talk about them?
Well, I mean, I directed a pilot during quarantine, and it was just a pilot. It didn't really ever go anywhere, but I was really proud of the fact that I did direct that, and I was one of the producers on it. And it felt great to be able to do that. And I enjoyed it because it was being in a director capacity, and it was really cool to be able to do that. Especially during quarantine, you know, during the whole, well, it wasn't quarantine, but because the quarantine had lifted, but during that whole, you know, time when production was shut down, I got to be able to do something like that. So that felt good. I'd love to be able to do some more of that. I did. I was a producer on this dog rescue show in California, and I loved doing that and sort of being behind the camera doing that. And plus, you know, I'm big on animals and dog rescue and stuff. So I got to combine all of those things. Loved that. But, you know, my first love is acting. That's what I love. That's what I've been trained to do. And the opportunities have been a lot less for me just because I don't think people are aware that I can act and that I've actually trained professionally since Baywatch. So I don't think they're aware, you know, they see my credits and they're like, oh, and they look at my pictures and they're not aware that I actually have capabilities beyond what they see. So the opportunities are less because they're not aware, but that's my first love. That's my first, you know, my number one thing that I want to do.
Well, actually giving you a little boost right here, looking at your IMDb Pro, you actually studied Shakespeare, which is not one of the easiest things to do.
Yeah, under Tom Todorov in New York, who I adore, and he's, I consider him a friend also. So, those are, and I keep that on the DL because I don't like, you know, people like to start trying to, you know, quote things to me and making me quote stuff. And I don't like to go there. I keep that on the DL because I just like to have that for me. But yeah, those are things that people aren't aware of about me. So I do have chops. I just,
I know you're heavily involved in animal charities. Can you tell us your involvement in that?
Well, I've worked a lot with LCA, Last Chance for Animals, and every year I do a lot of public service announcements and protesting against the fur trade, against the dog and cat meat trade, and just about Adopt, Don't Shop. Those are my main three things that I work against or for.
Well, you're an amazing person. You looking at life all around, whether it be an animal or a human being. So Donna, what's in the works that we can be on the lookout for? And is there anything that you particularly need help in?
That I need help in? Well, there's, I'm not allowed to say, I told you off the air what it is, but there's, I have a film that I'm going to start shooting in February. And
it's a biggie.
Tell you about that a little bit more about that whenever I'm allowed to, but there's something coming up that's kind of cool then that I'm going to start prepping for. And what else? I need help with.
Do you need producers on your projects or investors in case anybody's listening?
No, but I'll certainly think about that and let you know. No, nothing right now.
All right. Fabulous. So where can people find you on Instagram or Facebook to keep in touch with you?
Yeah, well, Instagram is my name. It's just at Donna DiErico with no apostrophe. And always look for the check mark because they're keeping a lot of fake accounts that duplicate all of my pictures and my exact wording on my profile. So just check for the little blue verified check mark. I only have one account on Instagram and only one verified account on Facebook. So if you look for the blue check mark, that's me.
Fabulous. Appreciate you taking the time today to be on School of Hollywood.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
Thank you for listening to The School of Hollywood. Please follow us on Instagram at School of Hollywood and subscribe so you can hear our next episode. I'm Steve Owens. Until next time, continue to follow your dreams and look to the stars for your success. Just go at it, okay? We need the one that's 30 seconds. Yeah, welcome to the School of Hollywood, where you'll learn successes of actors, singers, producers, agents, casting directors, A&R, and studio execs. I'm Steve Owens, a 30-year veteran to Hollywood. Producer of movies, TV, a talent manager, a former agent, a record producer with 43 gold and platinum records. Episode number one, we have Gulsa Sarabi, the star of By Design on Amazon Prime. Let's hear Gulsa's dreams, successes, and advice for you.